Bibles, please, book of Acts, chapter 26. You're glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. You're really glad you're saved? I never saw anybody yet that wasn't glad he was saved, if he was saved. But I've seen some folk that said they saved. They didn't look like they were very happy about it. But I'm glad, praise God, it's a joy to be saved. Everybody has times they feel down and out and all that, but I'm glad it's a joy to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 26 and verse number 24, stand please. Reads like this. As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doeth make thee mad. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege that it is to call you our Heavenly Father. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we're one of your children in your family, a part of the blood-bought crowd. And I praise your name and give you glory for all that you've done for us. And Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for resurrection. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege to come to the house of God. And I pray tonight now you'd help us worship. And Father, I pray, speak to our hearts, stir our lives, help us realize, Lord, how blessed we really are. Thank you for what you do. Then, Lord, these those among us tonight that know not the Lord Jesus, and I pray the Holy Ghost would do a convicting work in their heart, draw them by your power, and I pray they'd come to a place of repentance and be saved. Thank you for every song sung, all the blessings of the service, but today now we come to the time when it's time to preach. We need that divine touch of God. Rebuke the forces of evil, and I plead the blood in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, you're familiar with this. I've been speaking some about Paul here lately concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and appearance, and that's not what we're dealing with tonight. But you remember Felix had left Paul bound, and Festus came to into his room, and he trying to find something he could write down to send to Caesar so he could send Paul there. He had appealed to Caesar, and so now Festus has King Agrippa there, and they're questioning Paul. But here, as Paul is witnessing, and Paul is sharing some truths, here's what is said. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. That word mad, if you look it up in Webster, he'll give you a definition of mad like this. Now, it's not talking about being angry, but it's talking about this definition of it. Insane, mentally ill, crazy. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. I fit in pretty good with that crowd. Crazy. And so here's my thought. Why the world thinks God's people are crazy. And they do. And fact is, not just the world, but there's a whole lot of churches think we're crazy. Down here at the house of God, if they'd heard Brother Ronnie teaching this morning, they'd said he'd gone off his rocker. He slipped a cog or two. And if he slipped a cog or two, he's slipping in the right direction. I know that. Amen. And around here, every once in a while, it gets stirred, and there's a breeze from out of the world comes through, and people get excited and shout or cry or say amen or wave their hand. And I don't want to get over that. I don't want to miss that. I want these children to grow up in that. I want them to know what it is to worship God, hear from heaven, let God do something for us. And I realize there's nothing we can make happen, but it just happens because God gets in it. And some folk that want to hear from heaven and want God to give us something. And I come to church tonight looking and praying that God give us something tonight that'll help us, encourage us, and strengthen us, and then speak to hearts of those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a well-educated man brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of that day. He had been taught well. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said of himself. He'd been taught the law. He knew the way. He had endeavored to live a life above reproach. He had been active in all of that. And that learning that he had, Festus knew about. And Festus knew he was an educated man. Festus knew that he was in that category of being of that class of people. And as Paul was witnessing and telling what he was telling, and I believe he was telling with some excitement in his heart. And I believe his voice was excited about it because he had good news. The only news they needed to hear was about Jesus Christ. And as he did that, Festus looked at him and cried with a loud voice, "Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." He thought he'd done slipped off on the wrong way. He thought his mental capacity had exploded and that he was mentally ill and that he had gone too far with this thing. And I've told y'all the story many times about the fella. And when he got saved, got born in the family of God. And his family thought he was crazy. They thought he'd done slipped off. And most folk, if they really get saved, really put their hearts into it, give their lives to Christ, really get saved, family will look at them and wonder about them and what has happened to them. Or friends will, people around you will. Why in the world do you want to go to church all the time? And why do you get excited about it? Why in the world do you want to get there so early? Why do you want to stay around and go on Sunday night when company's coming and family's here? And boy, we got so many things to do. And tomorrow's a busy day. And why on Wednesday night do you take time out to come to the house of God? Why revivals? Or why during special mission conference or whatever it is do we do what we do? And the world will look at us and they'll say something wrong. Something wrong somewhere. That's exactly what I'm going to preach about tonight. God will help me. Why they think we are crazy. And if they don't think we're crazy, they may not word it that way, but that's really what they mean. They think that we are just gone too far with this thing and that we're too old-fashioned. We're too much out of date. We're not up to date with the times. We're not keeping up with it. We're running behind, and churches have changed their way of doing things, and we don't have the overflow crowd, and I'm all for getting people in. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for that, but I believe they need to come to hear preaching. They need to come to hear singing. They need of God's kind of singing. They need to worship God in spirit and in truth. We go to the house of God not to be entertained, but to hear from God and let God do something for us. Amen. We come tonight, and I realize the fact of responsibility that's laid upon us to preach the Word of God. But I want you to understand this. I believe that it'll help us all if we understand this to some degree anyway. And we can't understand it all on our side because we've been born again. We're of a different nature. We have a different concept. We look at things different. We see things different. But those that are unsaved, those that know not Jesus, they don't see it that way. They just don't understand. And I want them to understand. I try to get them to understand. And you do, but many times they do not. And so tonight you're here and you're not right with God. I pray the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and help us. But maybe this would encourage us tonight, that we won't get discouraged when somebody wonders about us or when somebody says something bad about us or they think, well, they're really messed up, that crowd down there at Gateway there. They're messed up, sure enough. And if we're messed up, then praise God for the mess we're getting. Amen. And it's the best mess I've ever been in my life, is just getting messed up with God, letting God do what he wants to do. God bless our hearts and stir our life. You that work on public works, I guarantee you have some people around you that look at you and say, what is wrong with you? And they're coming in on Monday morning, they're talking about honky-tonks and the drunk they had and all this running around they did and that kind of thing, and they look about half dead, and you're wondering about them, but they're looking at you and wonder what in the world is wrong with you. You come in bright-eyed and ready to sing and whistle an Amazing Grace or singing it or humming it or doing something, and they wonder what is wrong with you. Well, as they said here, you're mad. Not angry, but mad. You've gone off on the deep end. And some people think we're out on a limb, but they never have even found a tree. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, we might be on a limb somewhere, but at least we climbed a tree. I say hallelujah, amen. I don't know, I was in that Sunday school class this morning, just got me stirred. I can't help it, amen. I got stirred up last Sunday, got stirred up again today. I'm just getting stirred up, amen. I was reading some missionary letters for church tonight and trying to sort through some things and on my desk and trying to find my desk, really. But I read one of these missionary letters. He's talking about praying for this man. Said he's 72 years old. Said pray for this elderly gentleman. I thought, well, yeah, we need to pray for that elderly gentleman because you got that in your pulpit tonight. He needs your prayer. Not the one need to get saved, but the one needs your prayer. Amen. And I'm reading more and more and hearing more and more about that all the time these days, but that's all right, praise God. I'm glad God let me live as long as he has, amen. I still stand on my feet. I still preach the word of God. God still helps me. Now, every once in a while, that breeze come through, give me that touch, and I praise him for that, and I say hallelujah. I'm glad we have a living God. Number one, I want you to know tonight that they think we're crazy because we believe the unbelievable. Amen. We believe the unbelievable. We really do. In the beginning, God. I heard Dr. Percy Ray. I heard some of you folk talking about Dr. Percy Ray. Some of you have been reading a book about him. And I had a privilege sitting down with he and Brother Lockie one night. And as a young preacher, sat down and talked for hours. And I tell you right now, you're talking about thinking you've been in the presence of a holy men of God. And you were. I was. And it did something for me. It helped me. In that day, but Dr. Percy Ray, I saw him get up in a meeting one day. He walked up to the podium and said, "In the beginning, God." That's all he said. And it broke out. People were shouting. People were praising God. It got loose. And I don't know where service went after that. I got into it myself. Amen. I was just a young preacher. But I tell you, I knew there was something out there. I knew God had something more powerful than me that could work. Amen. And I thank him and praise him for it. I'm glad for those experiences in the beginning, God. But the world, they don't know about that. Some of them say that they don't know if there is a God. I'm glad we believe the unbelievable. They say it's unbelievable that God had to come from somewhere. I say God didn't come from anywhere. God has always been. And fact is, you can't say God has always been. I just said it, but it's not right. Because there is no has always been. You say, preacher, well, why ain't there no always been? I'm digging in here, aren't I? But anyway, there never has been a time when God was not. So the time has no, we know time as a beginning here and ending there. And we know the creation and the burning up of this and a new heaven, new earth. We read about in the word of God, but we really don't know about eternity. We just know that it's out there. And God inhabits eternity, the word of God says. So that being so, he just is. I can't explain that. And the world can't believe that, but I believe the unbelievable, amen. And then they say if there is a holy God, and he does exist, he's holy, 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 thrice holy. He said, how in the world could he become a man? He inhabits eternity, he is a spirit, and how in the world could he become a man? And I believe that a virgin conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, amen. And he was born into this world with a body like mine and yours as far as flesh is concerned and bone, but without sin. He was a virgin-born son of God. Preacher, do you really believe he was a virgin-born son? I really believe it. They say today that's an impossibility. A virgin could not have a baby. I got news for him. It did happen. I believe the unbelievable. Amen. Look here in verse number 23 of the chapter I just read. And here's what Paul was saying, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and shall show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Here's what he's saying. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And Festus cried out and said, "You're mad. You're crazy." And tonight, they don't believe that, but I do. I believe there was a man that died for my sin. I believe there's one made sin for me, put on the cross of Calvary, and paid my price, and died so I could be saved, and then rose from the dead, and thank God's alive tonight. I believe that with all my heart, I believe that. I say hallelujah. I believe the unbelievable, amen. Hallelujah. They say, well, I can't be. That's what they think. I believe the unbelievable. They don't believe. You believe the unbelievable? then they'll call you crazy too because you believe that. But just be crazy and go on. Hallelujah. That's better than what they've got because they don't know where they come from or anything else. They're just guessing at everything. I'm glad I know. Amen. In the beginning, God. I know, thank God, he died for my sin. And I know. How in the world, if you don't believe in the beginning, God, you surely can't believe that God can died for you and the person of Jesus and rose from the dead. You can't believe that if you don't believe in the beginning God. But then if you do believe that he died for you and was God in flesh, it's not hard to believe in the beginning God. Because I know he told me the truth about salvation because I got saved. I know that. He told me the truth about that. And I believe he told me the truth about in the beginning God. And so we can rest assured of all of that. Let me say number two. Not only do we believe the unbelievable, but I want you to know we see the invisible. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, you are crazy. I may be, but I'm having a good time being that way. Amen. In Hebrews 11:27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Hallelujah. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he, not like this, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what God said. And Brother Ronnie said this morning, take what God said, not what I said. And he said he saw the invisible. Said he endured because he saw the invisible, him that is invisible. I say hallelujah. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angel. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Again, he says that. I am glad, praise God, that we look unto him that is invisible. We see him, and the world thinks we're crazy because we say that. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. Now, that's an odd sentence, isn't it? We look not to things which are seen, but things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I say hallelujah. I'd rather look at eternal things than the temporal thing. And what you see down here is temporal. Everything around us physical is temporal. But hallelujah, we get a glimpse every once in a while of that invisible one, amen. That one the world can't see, never has seen, never will see. But we see him by an eye of faith and have seen him and love him. And thank God those things that are invisible we look at. And they say, you're crazy. We may be, but I'm a praising God. I can see that through eye of faith and trust God for it. Aren't you glad you can see things the world can't see? Amen. They think we're crazy. Why? Because we see the invisible. And we talk about seeing that. And that's what Moses did. He saw him that is invisible and endured. But I like this. We do the undoable. Amen. Can't be done. The world says it can't be done. And by the way, let me say this. Christianity is supernatural. And when people try to put everything in a little box, and try to write it down. If you do say these words or you do this through this way, you get saved. That's not so. You get saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And you may be driving an automobile, you may be in church, you may be down at your house beside the bed, but wherever you are, I want you to know one thing. You'll never get saved unless there's a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost in your life that convicts you and shows you that you're lost and that you need a Savior. And when he does that, thank God, you're a good candidate to get saved and do the undoable. Amen. Because the world, they look at it and say, now how in the world can I live a life of victory? It's undoable. The world can't do it. They don't know how to do it. They can't find a way to do it. But I'm glad, praise God, we that know Jesus Christ have the power that is within us that's greater than he that's in the world. And therefore, we can do the undoable. Amen. And myself, I can do nothing. In myself, I can't live for God. In myself, I fail God every day. In myself, I'm a miserable failure. But thank God, he that lives in me is greater than me. He's greater than you. He's greater than the world. He's greater than the devil. And through him, I can live victorious. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad there's victory in Jesus? Aren't you glad tonight? Praise God. They sang that song a while ago, on the winning side. I said, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on his side. Amen. That's the winning side, and we're having a good time praising God, living for God, and saying hallelujah, and just doing what God have us to do. You remember when David went out to face Goliath, and surely the world looked at it. In fact, his brothers told him he's crazy. and Saul tried to tell him he couldn't do it. Everybody, they thought he'd done slip sure enough. But that Goliath was out there, and that big giant. Mind me, Brother Dave, Big Dave, I just the day got some pictures given to me that made of me and you and a little fella. What's his name? Bobby Brindle. Brother Bobby, I forgot his name. But anyway, we all three stand down here, and Heather took our picture. Here's one up here. Here's one here. Then there's one down here. It's funny. And somebody said that Brother Dave could put Brother Brindle in his pocket. I've heard of people carrying spare tires in the car, but never spare a man in their pocket. But anyway, it looked funny. But I can imagine Big Dave and little Bobby Brindle talking about little David and Goliath. And Goliath walk out there, and no offense to you, Big Dave. I know you're not like Goliath, but anyway, he's big, but he's gentle. But this Goliath come out there, and he roar. He made fun. He cursed their God. He just made fun of them because he wouldn't send nobody out to fight him. And Saul, he stood head and shoulders when he made king over everybody else in his group, and he wouldn't go out there and fight him. And none of those soldiers go out there and fight him. They's all cowed down. And David saw him and looked at him and said, why is that uncircumcised Philistine coming out here making fun of our God? Why is he making the children of Israel embarrassed? He didn't put it in that many words. That's what he was saying. And why don't somebody go out there and take care of him? And so finally he decided he'd go do it. And they said, you can't do that. He said, well, God that I serve said he delivered the bear into my hand. He delivered the lion into my hand. And said, my God will deliver that uncircumcised Philistine into my hand. And they said, you can't do it. You're crazy. They didn't put it in that many words. That's what they meant. And I'm sure they looked at that little old shepherd boy as he walked out there without a spear, without a sword. And at that time, he'd never been trained in those things. Only had a slingshot. And he walked out through there, and that he tried the armor of Saul. He couldn't handle that stuff, throwed it aside. Just went out there like a shepherd boy and trusting in the God of heaven and saying, God will deliver him into my hand. And went out there, took a stone, five stone, put one in a sling, slung it around, let go of it, and the Holy Ghost, I believe power of God, took it like a missile and sunk it in the Goliath's head, and he fell to the ground. And I don't know where that shield bearer went. The Bible said that Goliath had a man that bare his shield in front of him. I don't know where he went. I got to think about that today. Maybe Goliath fell on him. If he did, he crushed him to death. I don't know where he went. But if he didn't fall on him, I believe he dropped the shield and ran. Because here's a little old shepherd boy, and he's killing the giant. And he ran up there and took a Goliath sword, cut his head off. And Israel had the victory and started chasing the Philistines. You know why? Because there's some little old boy out there that believed God, loved God, and believed he could do the undoable. And they said, can't be done, can't be done. He said it can be done by the grace and the help of God. I say tonight, we can be overcomers. We can do the undoable. We can live for God in an ungodly, sick world. And sick of sin, sick of sin, sick in sin. But thank God they've victory. You say, preacher, I can't quit what I'm doing. I miss too much. I want you to know tonight you can't afford not to quit what you're doing and get right with God. Hey, man, it's not a matter of quit drinking. It's because they need fountains anyway. Just get a different fountain drink out of it. Drink out of eternal water. Get plunged in that blood, fountain of blood. Amen. Let God help you. God will do something for you that'll help you. I know he will. I praise him and thank him for it. You know, something else bothers me today. I might as well get it all off. I told you it doesn't got me stirred up, so. Years ago, still happens today too, but years ago, you never heard of anybody getting saved and then having to go somewhere to get them off alcohol. They got saved. And they just got saved. And it changed them. Y'all still with me? But we have so geared in our minds today and so in our hearts that people have to have some, we have to help God out. We have to give God some help because he can't handle it by himself. I don't believe there is a problem that God cannot handle. I don't believe there's a sin that God can't take care of. I don't believe there's anything that holds you so tight that God cannot break the chains. Amen. I was reading the other night about Peter when he was in prison and the angel of the Lord came to set him free. Bible said he's chained. Hey, they're getting ready to behead him the next morning, they thought. They're going to get rid of him. He's laying between two soldiers, and they've got him chained on each side. He's laying there, and he's sound asleep. And they come in, wake him up, and the chains just fall off, and he walks out. And he don't even know what he's reeling or dreaming or what it is. But then finally he walks out there, a gate going outside the city. It opens up by itself and goes on, walks in the city. I mean, he just set free. They didn't anybody bring a hammer and a chisel and have to knock the chains off of him. Amen. Didn't anybody have to come by and say, now we're going to try to get over these soldiers here and see if we can't help you out. No, no. God Almighty moved on the scene. And when God got through with him, he was delivered all the way delivered out. Amen. It's like when Jonah's in the belly of that fish and God said he's going to deliver him out. He didn't have to help God out and swim part of the way and see, help, help, I'm out here in the water. This fish just spit me out. Come help me. That wasn't the way it happened. God spake that fish, spit him out on dry ground, and he took off toward Nineveh. I want you to know tonight, thank God, the same God that has used to deliver is the same God that delivers tonight. Same God that used to help people can help them tonight. Same God that could take it away then can take it away now. Hallelujah. We do the undoable. Aren't you glad? Better move on. We know the unknowable. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, talk about the natural man. He can't know God, don't know God, don't know what God can do. But I'm glad we can know the unknowable. I was talking about in the beginning God a while ago, and these group believe in evolution, and they try to explain it all away, where we came from, all that. They have to admit. They have to admit, if they're honest, they get to a point that they cannot explain it. They try to. Well, there's a big explosion. That's where they start. Big Bang Theory. Well, what banged? Where did that what come from? Whatever it was, where did it come from? And what started it in motion? What caused it to bang? How come it flew different parts a certain distance and stopped? How come the sun's no closer than it is and the moon is where it is to pull the tide of the oceans? How come everything just happened to fall right in place? Isn't that a wonder? They can't explain that. They don't know where we came from. They don't have answers. But thank God I know what they don't know. Amen. They think I'm crazy. I believe in the beginning God. Amen. I know he created me. I know where I came from. So that's not a question. I know why I'm here. He put me here to glorify him and to worship him. Not only that, but I know where I'm going. They're guessing about it. I don't know if there's anything out there or not. And then some say you're just putting a hole in all that. They don't. And then they come down time to die. Well, what's happening? When they need some help and all that. Hey, I'm glad tonight we can know the unknowable. Amen. And glory to God, I know he birthed me into the world. He let me be born. I know he birthed me the second time in the family of God. And I know I'm here to glorify him. And I know I'm going to heaven when it's all over with. I say glory, hallelujah. I know the unknowable, and they don't know it. Then you have some that says you can't know you're saved. I know I'm saved. Amen. 1 John 5:13 says these things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And I say tonight, thank God I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved forever. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I've been justified. I know that. Amen. And I say praise God. And the Lamb prayer. Let me give you a fifth thing and I close. We attain the unattainable. They say, how in the world can a lost man that is ungodly, he is away from God, he doesn't run to God. God has to come to him. How can he ever be justified? Holy God, never sinned, never thought a wrong thought, never did anything wrong, nothing, can't stand to look on sin, even a foolish thought sin in his sight. All of that, how in the world can man be justified? Romans 3:24, being therefore now justified by his grace. justified by his grace. Hey, I'm glad it's by grace. Grace is that unmerited favor of an almighty God. I don't deserve it, but I get it. Amen. I deserve to go to hell. Mercy kept me out of hell, and grace takes me to heaven. Amen. Mercy kept me from getting what I didn't deserve. Grace gives me what I don't deserve. I say tonight, thank God I'm saved and going to heaven, and it's the grace of God. In Romans 5:1, therefore being now justified by faith, I'm glad I'm, and see the principle's grace, but I'm glad, thank God for that practical part of faith. It's whosoever will believe. Confess in your mouth, believe in your heart, God said. Romans 5 and verse number 9, I believe it, much more than them now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's the power of it. I'm glad I'm justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a power. I say hallelujah. I attained the unattainable. Let me close with this, talking about the unattainable. Man has tried to freeze bodies, so they're waiting for somebody to find a cure for whatever disease they had, so they can unfreeze them and bring them back to life, give them the medicine they need, and they'll live on. Man's trying to find a way to live forever. And I've already got it. They're looking for it, and I've got it. You say, preacher, you are crazy. I know. Amen. Amen. That's what they say. But they're trying to find how to live forever. They don't want to die. They don't want to go into eternity because they don't know what's out there, because they don't believe the Bible. And so they're in a mess. But thank God, I'm glad I've attained. I hadn't got my new body yet, but I've already attained unto it, because the Bible talks about it as though those already justified, he's glorified. I say hallelujah. And the sight of the holy God, I'm as good as now glorified in his sight with a glorified body. Amen. That being true, then I've got life everlasting, and it is true. I have life everlasting. I have eternal life now. I'm never going to die. I'm not going to ever perish. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I've attained what they're looking for. I already got, and they think I'm crazy. And we're the only ones that have the answer for what they're looking for. But thank God, God is the answer. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, just want to thank you for the truths that we've tried to share tonight you laid on our hearts. I pray you'd help everybody in this house, Lord, to realize the truth of what we said. The world thinks we're crazy. They think we're off. But Lord, help them to realize tonight that the only real hope there is in Jesus Christ. Help those here tonight that's unsaved to realize if they ever get to heaven, they'll have to get there through Jesus Christ. Help them tonight to realize this world is passing by. What we see is only temporal. That's unseen is eternal. Help them, Lord, to come to grips with that truth. Help them tonight to be saved. Then I pray for everybody that is saved that you stir our hearts. Help us, God, be excited about the Lord Jesus, to share the good news of what this world needs to hear. In his precious name we pray. Amen.